Kanaka Amurie Zimbabwe.
Kwazwai Muri Zimbabwe lingali chona njani mtsakazo muhle Zimbabwe muhle Muri Zimbabwe tinomgamshira imchirongwa chedu chechidiki wonke umuntu ongenayo kuhlelo welcome if you tuned in right now welcome to The Connection with Mike Hove Studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth related Muri Zimbabwe you tuned in to live talk at The Connection brought to you by Studio 7 Voice of America and we're coming to you live from our studios in Washington DC on October 26, 2021. Mtsakazo muhle Zimbabwe muhle. I'm your host, Mike Hove. Once again, Muri Zimbabwe lingali chona njani mtsakazo muhle. Wonke umuntu ongenayo kuhlelo siyakwamukela kuhlelo lwethu lwabasakhulayo. Uhlelo Live Talk, The Connection lelami uMike Hove. Muri Zimbabwe tinomgamshira imchirongwa chedu chechidiki. Chirongwa The Connection muineni Mike Hove. Nasi mchirongwa chedu chechidiki. Namhlanje kuhlelo tonight on The Connection. We focus entirely on the Fulbright US flagship program. It targets uplifting educators worldwide. It's titled the Fulbright Teaching Excellence Achievement Program. Once again, this is a six-week U.S. Flagship program, which targets uplifting secondary teachers worldwide. But we're not just going to be ending the conversation there. We're also going to be focusing on youth participation in Zimbabwe's voter registration program. So throughout the program, we're going to be hearing from several different youth who are going to be touching on that. If you're looking to join us, Muri Zimbabwe, the number to call in, as per usual, +1 202-619-2077. The number again, +1 202-619-2077. For those that are streaming this conversation live on Facebook, Skulumanje, we're broadcasting on our three Facebook pages, that being VOA Shona, VOA Ndebele, and of course our VOA Studio 7 in Zulugandabalinga Kotukuti, Sisagazan Jalo, Ekasin Letu, LA YouTube. As we speak, we're also broadcasting live on YouTube for all the YouTube fanatics. And last but not least, we're broadcasting live on our three websites, that being www.voazimbabwe.com, www.voashana.com, and of course, www.voandevelet.com. So, Linga Koshi Zulugandaba, for those that are watching on our digital pages, that being Facebook and of course, YouTube, you can share the program with your networks. Pressing the like button, ukusibona ukuthi ngempela ngempela zolukandaba sisonke like so tirithose pano pachirongwa chedu chechidiki. And last but not least, lingakhohlwa ukufaka ama comments go comment section. For those that are not able to call in, feel free to give us your input, write your comments in the comment section, and we're going to be reading those comments live on air. Without wasting time, Muri Zimbabwe, let us delve into tonight's discussion. As usual, first up, an update on COVID-19. Now, according to the most recent information released by the Ministry of Health and Childcare, Zimbabwe currently has 132,688 confirmed COVID-19 cases, 127,433 recoveries, and of course, 4,673 deaths. To date, when we talk about the amount of people that have taken the first jab of the COVID-19 vaccine, 3,275,033 have taken the first jab, 2,545,717 are fully immunized, means are fully have taken both the first and the second jab. These are the amount of people that are fully vaccinated in Zimbabwe. But whilst on the discussion of COVID-19 and, of course, the vaccine, Muri Zimbabwe, before we delve into tonight's discussion, let us head over to a clip we have, courtesy of the Ministry of Health and Childcare's Twitter page, of President Emmerson Mnangagwa speaking more on the effectiveness of the COVID-19 vaccine in Zimbabwe. Let's take a look.
I am Emmerson Mnangagwa, the President of Zimbabwe. Since 2020, Zimbabwe, like the rest of the world, has been fighting COVID-19. We have lost many of our loved ones, and those who have survived are still coming to terms with the trauma. Our way of life has changed as we adjust to the new normal. Many of you have been asking, is there a way out? Is there protection against COVID-19? Well, I'm here to tell you that you and I have a role to play in this fight. COVID-19 vaccines have been delivered to Zimbabwe. These vaccines help minimize the risk of infection and are being administered all over Zimbabwe free of charge. You and I need to defeat the disease. So get vaccinated now. This is our stand against COVID-19. Together, we will conquer. Get vaccinated now.
Well, Muriel Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from Umongameli, President Emmerson Mnangagwa, speaking on the effectivity of the COVID-19 vaccine in Zimbabwe. Yasho ngempela ukuthi Zulu kandaba phumani ngobuningi benu liyohlatshwa leli Jackson. Uhulumende ushilo ngempela ukuthi the target is to hit 10 million vaccinated people for Zimbabwe to reach herd immunity. But now to delve into tonight's discussion, of course, I mentioned ukuthi namhlanje sikhangela indaba zemfundo ukuthalisa ngiyazi we're going to be focusing on education. We're joined by Jobet Ngwenya, who is, of course, an educator, generally based in Bulawayo, but right now he's here in the United States of America in California. He's a 2021 fellow of the Fulbright Teaching Excellence and Achievement Program. Once again, he's an educator based in Gwentuchuzetunga, Bulawayo. Jobet, welcome to the program, Bafunjan.
Nyapila, Fuwetunjan. Thank you very much.
I'm good. We're really blessed to have you on the show, man. So the reason we have you today is we're focusing on this U.S. Flagship program, but not just ending there, but also delving into education. That is your forte. You're an educator based in Zimbabwe. Right now you're in California. But let's start off talking about the program itself. Tell us a little more about this U.S. program and what motivated you as an educator to be a part of it.
So basically, the Fulbright Tea Program invites teachers from all over the world to come have a six-week professional development within U.S. universities, U.S. High schools, and taking part in different cultural activities with different U.S. families, different U.S. Organizations. The whole idea being to have a know-how on the U.S. education system and generally the U.S. culture in terms of how it relates to the education system that they have. So what motivated me to be part of this program was really to have a look at how the U.S. system operates education-wise. We know they have the best universities in the world. So the idea was to then understand how they've gone to those levels. So I applied with a lot of other guys from my country, and only four of us managed to go through. And all because they have this thorough background check on what you are really doing as an educator, because their focus is not only on what you're doing in the classroom, but it goes beyond that. So they want educators who are not necessarily educators in the classroom, but educators who take a step further in as far as pushing education goals mm-hmm. is concerned.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about, because you have been here for, a couple of weeks now?
Sure.
It's a six-week program. How would you argue this program has enhanced your skills for you as an educator?
It has enhanced my skills a lot because focus has been on culture, on teaching methods, and on technology. I'll comment on the cultural aspect first. Mm-hmm. On the cultural aspect, I've come to understand that there's a lot of cultural things that we do that affect our education system, both positively and negatively. So that said, we really need to go back and say, what is it that we do that might not be contributing positively to the education of our students, as teachers, as parents, and even the school system itself. Mm-hmm. And on the methods part, there's been a call with the new curriculum introduced 2017, there's been a call of why we should change our teaching methods as teachers, but maybe because of the economic situation, the implementation of the curriculum hasn't been the best. But for us to progress in as far as the 21st century education goals are concerned, I'm learning this, that we really have to change our teaching methods. We have to focus on, rather, the education system should be more learner-focused than teacher-focused, because when maybe we went to school, things were a lot different than what they are today. Mm-hmm. 15 years ago, 20 years ago, you'd know that you get into an employment, you spend the rest of your life as a teacher, as a doctor, and so on and so forth. But things are changing exponentially now, and we see with the COVID pandemic how things have been turned upside down with technology. So we really need to move to teaching methods that will help our learners be able to switch from, say, this kind of a job because maybe it's not satisfying or because it's really been overtaken by circumstances. So our learning methods should be learner-centered to that effect, that they don't really rely on me as a teacher, but mm-hmm. they gain the confidence to rely on themselves. Mm-hmm. And then on the technology part, we are a bit backward. Rather, we are very backward. So there is a lot that we need to do in that regard. There is a lot of infrastructure that we still need to build. But that said, we need to integrate the little technology that we have mm-hmm. Into our learning, because in any case, our learners understand technology better than us, their teachers. And from that perspective, we need to be trained as teachers in as far as how to handle these new technologies, especially in the classroom is concerned. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we need to maybe depart from our cultural norms of saying, I'm the center of education, and give the learners, the chance to teach us as teachers, because they have a know-how. They were born into technology. So from day one, they have the technology. So they understand technology better. So maybe as teachers, we need to give them that platform to say, you teach me this. I don't understand how to use Google Drive. I don't understand how to use TikTok. How can we use TikTok in the classroom? Mm-hmm. That way, we are somehow bringing our students into the fore, and they'll, at the end of the day, love, being part of the education. Mm-hmm. What I've noted really within the American system, at least in California, because I know the differences are wide,
right,
their students generally love going to school. I think they enjoy being in school. Mm-hmm. And it's because there's a lot that they are benefiting by being in school. They've got this, they have the right to make choices within their education system. So it's really working to their advantage. Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to pull you back a little bit. You briefly touched on COVID-19. So I want to start off there and, of course, focusing on what your experience has been like here in America. We know America was one of the countries where COVID-19 really devastated us, and for a long time the education system was affected. But you are now here during a time whereby everything is slowly changing. Walk us through your experience with regards to that when we're talking about COVID-19 and, of course, the education sector in America, and then we'll touch on Zimbabwe.
What I've learned from their experience is that last year when COVID struck, I think they closed school sometime mid-March.
Right.
So from there, they switched everything into into online.
Mm-hmm.
And learners were given tablets. Every learner, at least in California, has a tablet, and it's the funding came from the from that district. So learning technically continued, though they were learning from home.
Mm-hmm.
And those that needed food aid, I understand they have food for those who earn less than the average American would earn. They'll provide them food from home.
Mm-hmm.
They also had, I'll say their teachers were trained in terms of how to handle the new technologies that have come in. The main platform they are using being Canvas and Zoom. Mm-hmm. So there was that training in that direction. And when they reopened, and I think they reconsidered the issue of exams, SATs became less compulsory. Those who choose not to take SATs can still be accommodated within the tertiary education system, which I think was really in the right direction. And when they reopened this year, there were some who had a choice of saying, oh, well, we still feel unsafe to go back to school. So they came up with a program of still reaching out to those who decided not to go back to the face-to-face learning.
Mm-hmm.
And in recent days, they've rolled out COVID vaccinations even for the school-going kids. So the experience, I think, in their case, as much as it has changed the way education is being rolled out, to some extent, they are continuing, and the disturbances were there,
mm-hmm.
but learning didn't stop, at least in as far as it did in our context in Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm. Right. Sithintene udaba lolu ngolimi lokamama namafishane Jobert before we wrap up ingxoxo yethu. Bengicela ukuthi uchasisele uZulu abalaleli bonke abangenayo kuhlelo manje. Okuningi nalolu hlelo olwe Fulbright Teachers Achievement Program.
All right. Fulbright luhlelo olu sponsor EUS State Department through the organization called IREX.
Mm-hmm.
So baya invite ababalisi from umhlaba wonke jikelele bezohlala amaviki ayisithupha befunda kuma university eAmerica.
Mm-hmm.
Njalo bebele athi bese esikolo bese emaklasini labantwana beAmerica. Ababalisi laba vele endaweni ezijeneyo benelise labo ukuthi bechathekele abantwana lababalisi beAmerica. Ngendlela imfundo eyiyo yona emazweni abavela kiyo.
Mm-hmm.
So uhlelo lolu lwenzelwe ukuthi ababalisi abavela endaweni ezitshiyeneyo lezi bezwisise ngcono nge-culture ye-America, ngendlela abantu be-America abaphila ngayo, njalo ngendlela abantu abe-America abaphila ngayo kuphathelane lezemfundo.
Mm-hmm.
Isiphokocela kuyikuthi lokho kuhle sikubonayo ngezemfundo e-America senelisa ukuthi sikuthathe lathi siyekwenza emazweni ethu, njalo senelisa ukuthi sichathekelane labanye ababevela endaweni ezijeni ukuthi bona indlela abayenza ngayo yileyi, njalo singancedisana siqhubekela phambili ngaleyi ndlela. Singathi yikho nje okuqukethwe i-Fulbright Teaching Program.
Mm-hmm. Sesikhangela ke indlela baqhube ngayo izifundo ikakhulukazi ngesikhathi i-coronavirus ibilokhu imemetheka kwele Melika. Ubona ngani njengelizwe njengeZimbabwe kukhona esingakufunda na?
Okokuqala engingakutsho ukuthi lanxa umkhuhlane lo ubufike ngesikhathi abantu bengawukhangelelanga, bona in terms of izakhiwo zokuthi benelise ukufunda abantwana besezindlini,
mm-hmm.
bezivele zikhona. In terms of infrastructure bebevele belayo eyokuthi abantwana benelise ukufunda bengkhaya, abantwana bayenelise ukuthi bethole i-Wi-Fi. And okwakathesi eCalifornia umntwana wonke ule tablet uyenelise ukufunda engkhaya lanxa izikolo zithe sezivuliwe. Okwalonyaka abantwana lokhu besebenzisa ama-tablet wona lawa, abasasebenzisa ama-textbook ngendlela maybe akade besebenzisa ngawo eminyakeni endlulileyo.
Mm-hmm.
So kimi kuyilokhami ukuthi bebevele bengani bakulungiselele and i challenge esilayo thina njengelizwe ukuthi lathi sizinuka amakhwapha abamabhizimusi uhulumende abazali senelisa ukuthi sakhe lathi i-infrastructure ezayenza ukuthi nxa silangana lama challenges anje senelisa ukuthi education system yethu ingabi affected the way ebe affected ngayo okunye maybe engikunanzeleleyo i-issue yemhloliso banike abantwana ithuba lokuthi nxa bebona ngani abayenelisi ukubhala imhloliso bazaqhubekela phambili ngezifundo zabo ukhangelwe indlela kade besenza ngayo eminyakeni edlulileyo ngoba bona bale lokho kuthiwa ngathi esikuthi eZimbabwe ngaba i-continuous assessment esifunga adopt yindlela enhle eyokuthi abantwana kanxa bebengafundi isikhathi eside kodwa benelisa ukutshengisela ulwazi abayenelisa ukuluthola njalo lama skills abayenelisa ukuthola lanxa bevele bengekho ezikolo so e-America kukhanya into ebivele ikhona so when i-COVID came bavele nje kwahle kwathiwa khona kade sikwenza i-questions ukuthi sincedise abantwana beqhubekele phambili ngithi kubuya kungani kunzima ngoba umumo omkhonomi ababalisi kabakho ezikolo isikhathi eside so kungani kungumthwalo onzima kodwa khona kuvele kuyinto enhle ezayenza ukuthi abantwana lanxa egulile ngelanga lomhloliso ayenelisa ukuthi abevele ele mark angene umhloliso elayo so bona ukuthi kube lula ukuthi bethi hayi okwalonyaka 2020 simeni ukubhala imhloliso abangenelisiyo lingabhali kodwa liyaqhubekela phambili ngezifundo zabo ngoba bebevele belakho lokho kuthiwa i-continuous assessment and okokugcina engingakutho yikhona ukuthi bona sebefike kuhlelo lokuthi abantwana sebehlatshwa njalo abantwana bayenelisa ukuthi lanxa bebuya ezikolo lo nalo uletafula yakhe akudingakali ukuthi bejone betshintshana so i-contact iba nlutshwane and umbalisi lo mbalisi ule ndawo yakhe abantwana ababuya khona balemtshina yokuthi bayaclean bayahlambulula umoya emaklasini into ezinjalo so bona bekungani bavele umkhuhlane bebewulindele thina usijumile so kuningi okumele sikufunde njengabazali njengababalisi uhulumende naye wonke umuntu o-involved kwezemfundo
Now in our closing Jobeth ngoba isikhathi sesesidliwe ngumangoyi before follow after these 6 weeks what are you hoping ukuthi you'll be able to take back as Zimbabwe and implement especially considering the fact that you're coming from a place where there are all these resources that you've mentioned and you're going to a place where these resources are not present what are you hoping to implement with all that
That's a very interesting question. It's a huge one for me. I would say the main point I should stress is that I can only work as an adapter. I know there are some guys who've been here before. The excitement is very high when you enter an American classroom and you wish this was my case back home. But as we are rounding up on the program, we are thinking, wow, we are going back. But all we can do as participants in this program is to work as an adapter. In other words, we know we are coming from a high voltage area. We need to supply whatever we can to a low voltage area. So there are things that we are definitely going to share with other teachers that we think can make our education system better, things that are going to share with our administrators, maybe as far as the ministry itself, because there are little things that we need to do from a national level that may not really need the technology, that may not really need the money, but we just need to change our orientation, need to change our thinking. So, for example, I would say the issue of there's too much, academic focus in our students. There are 7 compulsory subjects, which I feel is not really fair for the students wants to be an actress. You load them with math, physics, and so on and so forth. So those are some of the things, maybe going to 2022, where we have to review our curriculum. Those are things that you should be advocating for, that let's lessen the burden on the student. And personally, I'll continue on the path of helping students gain the 21st century skills. Mm-hmm. That has not necessarily been maybe the case given the education methods that we are using. Mm-hmm. So in a nutshell, really, I would say my focus would be more on the implementing teaching methods that are learner-centered, teaching methods that will help a learner become relevant in the 21st century.
All right. Well, Jobert Iskati, Sesheung Mangoi Bafo, thank you so much for taking time out to be with us, Pano Pachirongwa, on our program. Before you leave, in less than a minute, do you have any last sentiments you'd like to leave for the audience?
The message I would like to leave is that as a country, we have a long way to go. We've been proud of being one of the best educated countries. We really need to keep up with that. But as much as this has been the case, we need to continue reviewing ourselves, not celebrating our education system as was in the 80s and 90s. We need to move on with the times. There's a lot that we need to do and to undo so that our students are equipped to be relevant in the 21st century. Let's embrace technology. Let's embrace the changes that will make the life of our students better, mm-hmm. and will make them skilled enough to live in a fast-changing world.
All right. Well, Jobert, thank you so much for taking time out to be with us. Mudia Zimbabwe, you are hearing there from Jobert Ngwenya. He is a 2021 fellow of the Fulbright Teachers Excellence Achievement Program. It's a six-week U.S. program based here in the United States of America. So, Mudia Zimbabwe, Lisandu Guzwa, Jobert, there. Thank you so much, Jobert. We really appreciate you taking time out to be with us on the program. So, Mudia Zimbabwe, you are hearing there from Umnumzana Ndiwa Jobert Ngwenyawa. Murairizi, Muzimbabwe, vanoshanda vari uko kubulawayo, inengo yechirongwa chehurumende yeAmerica, chakanangana nekusimudzira varairidzi vanobva kunyika dzakasiyana siyana pasi rose. Chinangwa ndechekuti vasvike kuno kuAmerica vaonoka kuti zvinhu zvinoshanda sei. Wodzokerawo kunyika dzavo dzakasiyana siyana, wodzidzisawo vamwe kuitira kuti nyaya dzedzidzo dzisimudzirwe. Tizozvichioninga simuri yeZimbabwe, makateerera chirongwa chedu cheve chidiki. Uhlelo The Connection muineni Mike Hove Musakanganwe. For those that are looking to join us, you can call us live on air, +1 202 619 2077. You can also write your name and number in the comment section, and we're going to be calling you back pano pachirongwa chedu cheve chidiki.
Chipanda Poeka Mangma Wiza, I'm a graduate artist, aka Mr. Nkulumis Kiwane Veneki. Guys, COVID-19, abayibiza nge-corona, into ekhona. Phambili nge-social distancing, asigeze nezandla, always stay safe, stay home. Last number.
Easy, Machita, easy.
Shout out there to Mr. Nkulumis Kiwane Venekula Umawiza. Check out his social media to check out more of his work at Mawiza Online on Twitter, at Mawiza Online on Instagram, ukhona njalo ku Facebook. Now, early on, Mudia Zimbabwe, I mentioned that namhlanje kuhlelo, we're not just going to be focusing on education, but we're also going to be talking to young people, abantu abasakhulayo, vechidiki vemuZimbabwe, about the voter registration program. But before we head over to our panelists that are joining us live via telephone, I asked a couple of young people to send us a videos speaking about the kind of Zimbabwe they would like to see following the 2023 elections. Let us head over to one of those young people who sent us a video. His name is Mr. Itai Masango.
My name is Margaret, Zimbabwean youth.
It looks like the videos are not loading up, but whilst we try to get those videos, let's head over to the first panelist who's joining us live via telephone, Unaicho Ndlovu. Unaicho Bafo, Unjan.
I'm
doing great. I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. So let's delve into it, man. In AA, Kanyangani Ahlupa, voter registration in Zimbabwe. Now, the beautiful part of having you on this conversation is that you actually competed. You ran for MP in the 2018 elections. And the last time we communicated, you're aspiring. You're looking to do it one more time again in 2023. So I'm really looking forward to your input on this conversation here. A lot of people seem to highlight one thing, is that as we speak, we're already in 2021, towards the end, 2022, and then the elections are up next. And young people seem frustrated. Young people seem to not want to go out and register to vote. What exactly is bothering the young people?
So each challenge corner that one at security, like most young people, they are just fed up in the system. Mm-hmm. And because if I was to talk about my elections and after elections, this is going to change. I would say most young people, I'm not going to change. About the voter registration. I hear some serious why. So I look at it in half instance of Antoana, I'm a youth as a quick constituents. Try from the register, I'm a card. Econa, if I'm one, is the other side of town. Mamayama challenge is a corner and now in the one government money, I'm a young people about Kachuan, I'm a saving. They accept an animal look at Zuko. That one of Kachan and Muniki, Rosin Jena into the Zuko register and my election interest is like equal. Over even Lama Portis on an hour living with Tisa. I want to run Abba Sakula in the my elections. Abba Hambi Bantu. It's something like mobile voter registration. It's the Hambi Bantu.
Now, another interesting thing I recently learned is that, especially in places such as Matabeleland, is in Dabaleyoguti, abantu abasakhulayo don't seem to have the proper documentation, making it even more difficult to register to vote. Could you speak a little more about that?
Yes, in the way, Kunogute registered Chunagula, Malai, Ungana, Jeep, Quasim, and Makaya, and Kunogutti, process young going to look at this catch. We want to go to the tourist school for your teach. And before Avanto Avasakuda, Uvanzi, Mamoba, Yubani, Avangina's school. So, also soon, Jenna, what is maybe registered. So, Jinavalu, evidence too, but I want to really interest you about you. So, many of these affect young people with regards to the voter registration, especially in Masekelele, the areas which are marginalized. I was in Matobo a few months back. There's an area around Wakamba, Umaango, like 20K, Minya, Obesia, Zangu, Palisu, the tourist tube. So, internet is not only Ibobulawa, Ibupelikone, even with Minda, Umatobo, which is very frustrating for a young person.
Now, talk to me a little more about other issues that seem to be affecting young people, because I'm a little intrigued when you highlight that young people right now seem to be tired. But just not so long ago, for the 2018 election, Zimbabwe experienced arguably the highest turnout in a very, very long time. Abantu abasakhulayo had a very, very amazing vibe. They turned out in their numbers to go participate. So what's different now?
I would say 2018 was excitement. We all knew what was going on. So we were vibe, and with the young people looking forward to, like, what the next 5 years are going to be like better. Certainly now, if 5 years feels better, it's just me looking at it as teacher. So, I was going to get my elections. However, on the other side, I have, like, young people who are interested in running. So you blame me about who is a young person. Mm-hmm. So I would say if you're a young person and you've got access to go and register to vote, go and register to vote because every number counts. Mm-hmm. And you know how voter, know who you're voting for, know what you know in the track record. Don't just vote. And
Right. Now, talk to me a little more about our recent activities. We've seen, and this is not just lying to any party, all parties seem to have partaken in that, political violence in Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe has a very, very harsh history of that, of political violence, which a lot of experts have argued is something that has contributed towards young people deterring from wanting to partake in this whole democratic process. Talk to me a little more about that, of how something like that can affect a turnout of young people are registering to vote and, of course, partaking in voting in general.
In the way of violence, again, it's mainly the effect of perception of politics and elections on young people. In Kulu, a few days ago, even violence on Zagalawama parties, even in Masingo, like for instance, Zanu PF says, in the way of Zagalawama Masingo, it's really upsetting for young people because young people have got bread and butter issues to deal with. Now, so we tend to get into the politics. We are new, which one of the children is Dina. I said, I'm going to get in. Yet, in China, I'm going to get in. I'm going to get in. That's the mindset of most young people. So, young people want jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Young people want employment.
Mm-hmm.
They so lots of ways in this job of violence. We have a failure. We have only just to failure. I'm not even seeing any money because young people are angry.
Mm-hmm.
So in the sense that I have political parties, it's really also a factor in terms of who to participate in elections.
Mm-hmm.
Politics, the culture of politics in Zimbabwe, pre-2018, the Munsi, in the culture of the FE, Loki Kona. So, I want to bring up a little bit. You can have a team, a party, I'm a police, a child, and I'm a full exercise. I'm a democratic right now. We have to moralize the young people. So, it's violence, it's again, is really affecting, any political space, let democratic space say Zimbabwe when we're looking at young people.
Mm-hmm. All right, Nigel, let me hold you on the line for a bit. Muria Zimbabwe, earlier on I touched on the fact that we've got videos from young people from different parts of the country, different ages, all youth under 35, female and male, that sent us videos talking about the kind of Zimbabwe they'd like to see after the 2023 elections. Let's head over to one of those young people that we're speaking to. Earlier on I mentioned Uyitai, but right now we're going to head over to Margaret Zinunwe. Let's take a look to what she had to say.
My name is Margaret Zinunwe, a Zimbabwean youth. So the Zimbabwe that I would love to see is one where everyone is given an equal and fair chance to make it in life. I want to see a Zimbabwe where all citizens will be shareholders in a mining company which focuses in mining at least two high-value minerals like diamonds and gold. Every Zimbabwean being a shareholder in that company will receive profit dividend payouts biannually by the virtue of just being a Zimbabwean. This will give everyone a fair chance to make it in life. I want to see a Zimbabwe where hard, honest work is acknowledged. I'm tired of thieves who become rich at the expense of the educated, at the expense of the young people. This can only happen when proper economic fundamentals and institutions are set up. I want to see a Zimbabwe that will afford all young people a chance to achieve their potential. A Zimbabwe which will acknowledge outreads and avail facilities for such. If I'm a good rugby player, for example, or even a good netball player. I must be given the chance to further my craft at state-of-art institutions and facilities. Above all, I want peace, joy, and love to reign in Zimbabwe. I want Zimbabwe to be a nation, not a thing that belongs to a political party, as they call it, Chinuchedu. All Zimbabweans are equal and must be treated as such.
Well, muri eZimbabwe sithanda ukubonga uMargaret Zinomwe osakhulayo owesifazana uyasho ngempela umbono wakhe about what she would like to see Zimbabwe become after the 2023 elections. Udabe silalo kuhlelo esikhuluma nje ezulukandaba, we're talking about young people participating in Zimbabwe's, of course, democratic process, talking about young people participating in the voter registration period. Now, let's head over to another video that we received from Umnumzana Uitai Masango, another young person who speaks more about the Zimbabwe he would like to see after the 2023 elections.
Ini sewe chidiki, ndine zvandinota risira kuti zviitike pachapera sarudzo dza2023. Sekuteedzerwa kwezvidu zveruzhinji. Apa ndiri kureva kuti kupa masimba kubato rinenge rawana vatsigiri vakawanda. Chechipiri, kusava nemhirizhonga seyakamboitika munyika musi wa1 Nyamavhuvhu 2018 musure mekunge tabva musarudzo. Chechitatu, ndotarisira kuti kuve nekusimukira munyaya dzeupfumi hwenyika. Izvi zvinokonzerwa nekukwezva vemabhizimusi vanoda kuzodzvara mari dzavo munyika kuti nyika yedu ibudirire. Kubatana kwemapato anenge apinda musarudzo vachiisa pfungwa dzavo pamwe chete kuti tofambisa sei nyika ndochimwe chezvinhu zvandinotarisira kana tichinge tabuda musarudzo dza2023. Kutora pfungwa dzevese vane chekuita nekusimudzirwa kweupfumi hwenyika vakaita sevemabhizimisi, vadzidzi, vemakereke nevechidiki. Izvi zvinobatsira pakuvandudza upfumi hwenyika.
Well, you are hearing there from Itai Masango, another young person who's speaking more about what he would like to see Zimbabwe become following the 2023 elections. So let's head over back to Nigel Ndlovu. Nigel, are you still on the line? For the audience that doesn't really understand Debele, I want to continue on the discussion there. You heard young Itai Masango there, and of course Margaret talking about how they want to see peace. Earlier on, you explained how political violence affects young people, but could you quickly repeat that point in English for the audience that doesn't understand Debele?
All right. What I was saying is young people in Zimbabwe are worried about brave and battle issues. So when they see political violence emanating in political parties like what we've seen in recent weeks in Mutare, where MTC Alliance was involved in violence, even in Masvingo, where ZANU-PF also is involved in violence, it really demoralizes young people, like in terms of participating in the political and the democratic processes like elections, because we've got so much issues which are affecting young people, and young people are concerned about jobs, mm-hmm. the jobs which were promised during 2018. Mm-hmm. They were promised jobs, so young people want jobs. So when they see violence, they'll rather go and hustle, like what young people would say, they'll rather go and hustle instead of participating in politics, in the electoral processes. So, yeah, that's what I was saying in Singerville.
Mm-hmm. Now, you heard the young people there. They actually are supporting what you're saying about jobs, etc. So what do you think needs to be done for young people to now be as inspired as they were in 2018 so that the change that they're asking for happens?
From my side, what I think young people should do, I think young people shouldn't lose hope. Those in power at the moment should also come through with their promises, the 2018 promises, because, I mean, guys, we can't be talking about Vision 2030. We are in 2021. We are going to 2022. Young people are still struggling. We need practical solutions on the ground. We need tangible results. That's what young people need. So if they can see something in 2022, it will definitely mean that young people are going to be inspired to go and participate in the processes as well.
Now, let's talk a little more about your campaign in 2018. Actually, I won't just focus on yours, but I'll focus on all young people that partook. A lot of young people that ran for public office in 2018, just like yourself, ran as independent candidates. Unfortunately, a huge chunk lost, I believe, as we stand in Zimbabwe right now. The only independent candidate in parliament is Themba Mliswa, who is not youth. Where do you think it went wrong, considering the fact that more than 60% of the population is young people? How did they not relate to their fellow youth?
I think it's the culture. It's the culture of the voting in Zimbabwe. People are aligned to political parties, so they vote for political parties instead of political ideas. So I think it's the culture, and which needs to be changed. Young people need to reform on their own, because at the moment we're still stuck in 1980, we're still stuck in 2008, we're still stuck in 2018, we're still stuck in 2018, because young people themselves also don't want to change. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the change starts with young people. If young people begin to see that, okay, guys, this is what we want, and we've got these people who are bringing these ideas, why don't you put those young people and make sure you hold them to account?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, no one is holding anyone to account. We still have the same people. Like, for instance, in my constituency, we have someone who was there in 2013, we have someone who they voted for in 2018, and we don't see any progress. There's no progress. What is that person saying about young people of Makwekwe in 2021? There's nothing. Young people are struggling. So it starts with the young people, and it also starts with even the older generation. They also need to pass on the baton. We are tired of old ideas which are not working. Like I said, we don't need Vision 2030. We need practical solutions on the ground. We need tangible results. And we don't need violence. We don't need fighting, which is emanating from political parties. And that starts with the moment young people begin to see that the solutions are coming from them as young people. That's the moment we'll see real change in Zimbabwe. At the moment, even the young people are letting themselves down. I'm sorry to say that, but that's what I'm seeing.
So how do you get young people more included? We've seen a lot of people pushing for example, a certain percentage in parliament should be youth. A certain percentage should be women, vying for this representation. Do you think that such policies actually stand to help young people and young women, and of course women in general?
I mean, there are so many policies which have been put down on paper in Zimbabwe, and most of them haven't worked. Most of them haven't been implemented. I'll talk about the Constitution. Some of the elements in the Constitution are not even being implemented, but we're talking about devolution, for instance. Devolution started being, the government started implementing devolution like in some parts of the country this year and last year, and in some parts it's still not being implemented. So they can, people can advocate for those policies in parliament for representation of young people, but I mean, if we can't practice what we preach, then we're just wasting our time. So what we need is we put young people in parliament, and let's not just pity put them, I can say. Don't just pity us as young people and say young people are crying for seats in parliament, let's just put them. Because what we have another situation where we have toothless young people in parliament who can't even say anything, incompetent young people as well. We need young people who are passionate about Zimbabwe, real patriots, young people who are concerned about their nation. We need national young people who are going to represent every interest of every young person in Zimbabwe. We don't need this thing where we have parties talking in talking about things they don't even understand. I mean, you can have an MPC Alliance young person in parliament who's just going to go there and speak for MPC Alliance young people, but not Zimbabwean young people. We need young people from every corner to be in parliament. Their voices need to be heard.
Right. Let me hold you on the line again, Nigel, there. Muri Zimbabwe liyamuzwa uNigel Murugu vakunzwa kuna Nigel Ndlovu wechidiki. Nayo akambo pindauka musarudzo dza 2018 achimhanya kuva nhengo ye parliament. Nechirungu tinomuti aspiring a member of parliament kumagwekwe uko kuvulawayo. Saka zvino kandaba liyamuzwa uNigel Ndlovu osakhulayo. Ongene kukhetho ngomnyaka ka 2018 ushilo ngempela ukuthi ukhangela ukungena one more time ngo 2023. But whilst on the same discussion, of course, as I mentioned earlier on, there's other videos that I'd like to play of abantu abasakhulayo, the youth of Zimbabwe speaking for themselves, speaking more in terms of what they would like to see from this country, and of course, what would motivate them to want to go out there and partake in the voter registration program. So let's head over to another video that we have. We have Uodia Ndalega, and we also have Elvis Magari. Let's hear Uwuti abantu abasakhulayo. What are the youth saying about 2023 and Zimbabwe?
Good day, viewers. Speaking is Ndalega Odia. And this is Zimbabwe, and I have the expectations soon after 2023 elections. I wish that in Zimbabwe by 2023 or soon after elections, we have better and affordable education so that all levels from primary, secondary, and tertiary education, everyone will be able to be enrolled in school. And I wish that everyone will be affording fees so that we will not have situations whereby students have to be deferred from school because of failing to pay school fees. I wish that soon after 2023 as well, we have better and afford better youth facilities. Also that the government will be recognizing informal sectors so that they will operate freely without fear of being chased away. I wish there will be employment and women empowerment as well. Thank you.
Well, Muriya Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from Odia Ndaleka, one of the youth who sent us a video. But now the last video we have is from Elvis Mukari. Elvis, a lot of you know him as a prominent human rights activist. Ngomunye wabasakhulayo who fights very hard for a better Zimbabwe. So we reached out to Elvis and asked him to send us a video. Let's hear what Elvis had to say.
We are agitating for a democratic Zimbabwe, an egalitarian Zimbabwe. A democratic Zimbabwe where the human rights will be respected, property rights will be respected, and the concept of the full implementation of the constitution will be a reality. We are agitating for an egalitarian Zimbabwe where there will be equality in the distribution of resources. We are agitating for an egalitarian society where the young people will be given an opportunity and a platform for them to realize their potential. We are agitating for a peaceful Zimbabwe where violence and intimidation will be the thing of the past. We are agitating for another Zimbabwe where the rights of the women, the rights of the young girls, and the rights of the young people, the vendors, the activists, and the students will be respected. We are agitating for another Zimbabwe where there will be freedom of association, freedom of expression, and freedom of movement. We are agitating for another Zimbabwe where there will be progression and equality in the distribution of the natural resources we have in the country. We are fighting for another Zimbabwe where corruption is the thing of the past. We are fighting for another Zimbabwe where there will be inclusion in the democratization process and the progression of our country. The young people must be involved. The women must be involved, the vendors, the trade unions, even the traditional leaders must be involved. This is the Zimbabwe one.
Well, Muriya Zimbabwe, you are hearing there are from Elvis Mukari. Now, I want to go back to Unacho Woto Iskati Sisis Leung Mangoyi, and I have another guest who's joining us. So let's take our last guest who's joining us so that they can throw their couple of words before we wrap up. We're joined by Ashley Funye, another prominent human rights activist. And, of course, he is part of Citizens Manifesto. Ashley, welcome to the program, Chief. How are you?
Yes, thank you, my brother, and thank you all fellow Zimbabweans for tuning in.
Well, before we only have a couple of minutes, so let's delve into it. You guys specifically deal with this issue of voter registration, and you've touched on it several times on our program. But tonight we want to focus on the young people. I was talking to my other guest earlier on, and we've highlighted that 2018 was a very electric year for young people in Zimbabwe. They went out in their numbers ready to partake in this democratic process. But this year it seems to be a little different, leading into what would be the final year for voter registration before 2023. What exactly is going on with the youth of Zimbabwe? Why are they not? Why don't they have the same energy?
Hello, can you repeat the last part of the question? The network is a bit shaky.
Right, I was asking why are the youth of Zimbabwe not in the same mind space that they were not in, that they were in 2017, where they were excited for this whole program?
Yes, thank you very much. I think it's a matter of it's a different issues at play. There are a lot of factors, you know, hindering the current political dynamics. So as you might know, that number one, the 2018 election was we had new candidates who came in, but also what it meant is that it was a new energized election.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a lot of young people coming in because of the energy of the election. But the process, the electoral process now disenfranchised the people, disenfranchised young people, and it reduced their belief in the system. Because what else happened? There must be confidence between the system and the people, between the government and the governor. That's why we speak about the social contract.
Mm-hmm.
When that is lacking, young people tend to disenfranchise themselves, tend to shy away from political issues because of that idea that, you know, the system is not really serving what they think it's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I think that on its own was a digging in the deep, particularly for, you know, removing young people in terms of participating in the election.
Mm-hmm.
But also to note is the upcoming or the rising chances of violence that are already happening.
Mm-hmm.
You see, if you know, if you are following closely, you have, you know, I saw lately at the media center in Zimbabwe, we had from the MPC people who were beaten. We had also the MPC Alliance President Nelson Chamisa,
mm-hmm.
who was also, you know, faced some violent incidents. So that on its own, if you look at violence, if you look at the system, all those things, they are disenfranchising young people from participating in electoral processes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is what is killing the energy. But also in terms of the other factors, though, that can, you know, act as a mobilizing factor for young people, looking at the incidences across the country, across the region,
mm-hmm.
in Malawi, in Zambia, all those things, they precast in terms of trying to motivate young people. But the internal dynamics now are
mm-hmm.
the ones that are pushing young people far from the electoral processes. So
right.
I think we should draw much inspiration from the regional context
mm-hmm.
and try by all means to bring these into life in our country.
You just touched on a very important facet here, which is the role that young people have played. If you look at the region itself in terms of change, be it change of government, be it change within society, young people have played a very, very important role. So what needs to be done to revive that energy in Zimbabwean youth, especially as we gear up towards the 2023 elections?
Sorry, can you come again?
I'm saying what needs to be done to revive that energy in Zimbabwean youth?
Oh, yes. I think the first thing is, number one, you have to restore the confidence. You have to let people know that they are reformed so that people can know that when they go to vote, their vote is guaranteed that it's going to be counted rightfully.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we have to make sure that there are systems in place to check any written formative.
Mm-hmm.
We have to make sure that the state resources are distributed equally for everyone to benefit from the state resources, not a party to use state resources to campaign for itself.
Mm-hmm.
But these must be clear in terms of how these are going to be distributed.
Mm-hmm.
Then we need also to really conscientize and mobilize each other as young people, not mobilizing on political connotations, but mobilizing each other on real issues, the bread and butter issues,
mm-hmm.
like the education issue. We have people to go to school, like
mm-hmm.
the food issue. We have people to, you know, come out of poverty. We have the employment issue. Young people must get salary. So all those things, they can be mobilizing factors. So what needs to be done is to conscientize the masses, educate the masses, but also make sure that the system itself is designed to
mm-hmm.
promote transparency and accountability. and reform and revitalize the constitution.
All right, actually, unfortunately, before his cut, he says, I'm going to have to hold you there. Muriel Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from Ashley Funye of her Citizens Manifesto. Thank you so much, Ashley, for taking time out. We're going to bring you back on our other programs. Muriel Zimbabwe, unfortunately, my time is up here. Pano Pachirongwa Chelushewe Chitliki, Sesfigile Mafetuleni, Woshele Lechu Labasakulayo, Chirongwa D Connection Mwineni, I'm Michael Hove. For those that are looking to catch up with me, feel free to hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at BigMike3. That's BigMyke3. I'm going to be having a couple of announcements pertaining to the future of the show, so please come to my Instagram. I'm not going to get in Faro. Didn't you when you Mike over? Muriel Zimbabwe. Bye bye.